Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles today to Matthew chapter 16. Now, we were in Matthew chapter 16 back on Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to be in or around this spot for the next 2 weeks. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 24 to get the full context of where we're at, and I will read through verse 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, if you missed the sermon for Resurrection Sunday, let me encourage you to go back and give that a listen. Or if you can't remember it, now might be a good time for a refresher. Now, what we focused on that day was the importance of taking up your cross and following Christ, not going back to those sins that would prevent you from carrying your cross and moving forward for Christ. Now, today, I would like to revisit this text with another focus in mind, because many of us at one point in time have taken up our cross and are following Christ, but we may have let it slip a little bit. It may even be laying on the ground next to us while we navigate other things in life. Now, we know we have this commitment, but the distractions of life itself have carried us somewhere else, and we are not so focused on the Lord as we may have been in the past. Now, the fact is, this happens to all of us at one time or another. For some, it happens many times throughout life. And I want to consider today what it takes to get us back on track. Now, today's message is titled, "A Prescription for Renewal." And if you're taking notes, we're going to be walking through 5 points today. And I will display all 5 points up on the screen with the adjacent scripture passages. But let me encourage you today that if you are not normally a note taker, to still either take a photo of these on the screen or jot them down in your smartphone. Because we can nod our heads and consider that we know the texts, but one day we are going to find ourselves in the place where we need this full prescription. And wouldn't it be great if we knew exactly where to go to start our renewal process? Well, turn with me over to another text, and we're actually going to be in this text for the rest of our time. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be focusing on verses 1 and 2. It says here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 16, introduces the design that he has for all of his disciples, which is to follow him regardless of where the path takes. Now the Apostle Paul picks this back up in Romans chapter 12, to help us as Jesus' disciples through the renewal process so that we can continue on even after we have traveled for such a long time in other directions. Now, many Christians take the viewpoint that once they have lost their way and accumulated the baggage that comes from dwelling in sin for a while, it is difficult and maybe even impossible for them to continue on serving Christ. But that is just not true. And for those who come to Christ later in life, they have more baggage in a sense, more sin experiences that have piled up, more problems. But what happens when they come to Christ? They lay those burdens onto Jesus, and he helps them to overcome these burdens, this baggage, whatever it may be. Now, if Jesus can do that for an unbeliever who has lived in their sin for all of time, he can certainly do the same for the believer who has lost their way for a time. Now, I believe that some of Jesus' disciples needed renewal at some point. And why do I believe that? Because if we think about their commitment to Jesus, they had their cross on their shoulders and they were following Christ. And then he went to the cross, and what did many of them do? They dropped their cross and they ran. And some even went fishing. And when Jesus reminded them of what their purpose was, when he instilled in them confidence again, when he brought them healing through renewal, they turned from their ships and they went back to carrying their cross. Now, even Paul may have needed renewal at times. And I say that because of his own viewpoint of facing his struggles. In Romans chapter 7, verses 19 through 20, it says, Paul says here, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one working it out, but sin which dwells in me." Now, renewal is a prescription for healing, for resetting our focus, for letting go of those sins that have held on to us for way too long, and for remapping where we should be focusing our gaze. Now, let's look at our text again to see the different steps of this prescription. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, Paul begins with "therefore," which connects even as far back as chapter 1, discussing God's goodness to us. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters in Christ, by God's mercy, present your bodies." Now, you could say present, or you could say present, present even. Now, what is a present? Did God give us a present? Yes, God gave us forgiveness and salvation. That is his free gift to us. God gave us a wonderful life-altering present that we can rejoice in for all of eternity. We don't have anything so great that we can give to him, so we offer him what we have. We present him with our all, with our bodies, our minds, our everything. It's the greatest gift that we have. Now, this is what Jesus asked for when he presented salvation, to go and serve him with your whole being, to be yourself and yet to find yourself within God. And much of who we are, we view through the lens of sin. But when we come to Christ, we see who we were designed to be. We change in good ways, and we go from feeling emptiness to feeling full, from seeing darkness to seeing light, from feeling closed off with limits to feeling free with boundless opportunities. Now, this begins at salvation, but over time, we can forget these things. And as Paul said, we can get into places where we don't do what we know we need to because of the sin that dwells in us. But we too can be renewed, and it starts with the first step of our prescription. So step number one, the gift of yourself. And yes, you may have given yourself already to Christ, but there are times in life where we need to be reminded of what we gave. And we may have taken that gift or some of it back, which means we should take some time and talk with the Lord and make sure that we are giving that full gift back to him. And again, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we are presenting our bodies to the Lord. Well, let's consider the next step of the prescription. Back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, what is a living sacrifice? Now, Paul describes it more deeply in another passage in the book of Romans still. Back to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, Paul says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Now, a living sacrifice is not just a slave to exist, trudging through life while being stuck in a yoke of bondage. Now, I've seen in ministry over the years that in some situations, you don't have the number of adult leaders that you need in order to help with the number of children that you have to minister to. And in some instances, I've seen people chosen who have really no spiritual gifts of teaching or helping of any kind. But because they are alive and breathing, they were chosen to take a spot and lead and help. And sometimes the response from these people can be quite surprising as they dig in to help and it turns out that they are actually a great help. However, other people just stand in the corner, not offering anything. They are wearing the name badge, they have the leader uniform, but they just kind of exist. They're not bringing anything to the table. They just are there. Now, a living sacrifice is not just existing. It is not being pulled by God into opportunities. A living sacrifice is making the effort to be all that you can be for Christ. Now, you may not know how to serve right now, but you do what you can as you learn what it means to serve for Christ. You present your God-given talents to be used for His glory. And that is what a living sacrifice is all about. Doing your best, giving your best always to God. Which brings us to step number two, giving your best. Giving your best. And we see that Romans chapter 12, verse 1, being that living sacrifice, and going back to Romans 6, 12 through 14. We are giving our best. Well, let's consider the next step of the prescription back to our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable to God. What is this holiness? Holiness is when ascribed to God means perfect, sinless, and completely righteous. However, the same term means something different when it is ascribed to mankind. So what does it mean for mankind to be holy? What does it mean for mankind to be holy? Well, being holy is being set apart for God's use. Let me say that one more time. It's really important for us to remember. Being holy is not being perfect, but it is being set apart for God's use. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says, "Therefore, having prepared your minds for action, being sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your conduct, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, Peter is directing us here that holiness is about fixing your gaze on Christ and letting go of those things in life that held your attention before. Instead of being conformed to those old sinful lusts, let them go and put your efforts into living godly for the Lord, not just in one way, but in all of your conduct through your whole being. We should be holy because God is holy. And make note, we should be continually preparing our minds for the action of being set apart for God's use. This should be continually something that we are thinking about and working on. Now, this takes effort and it takes purpose. You will not be successful if you just wake up one morning and say to yourself, I'm going to be holy today, without having a plan of action in place. Now, just like how on a diet, you have to plan accordingly. What you're going to eat, when you're going to exercise, what you're going to do in the event that you are around other people who are all eating bad foods. You have to make a plan of action in advance, and then you have to start putting that plan into action. And just as Paul said that there are times that he does the things that are sinful when he doesn't plan on doing that, so we are going to struggle through being holy. And we live in a sin-cursed world, in a sin-cursed body. But we need to work on making the effort to daily let go of the sin that so easily entangles us and to instead choose to be holy. And that puts us to step number 3, be holy. Be holy. All right, let's consider the next step to the prescription. Back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we're looking here at acceptable to God. What does it mean to be acceptable to God? Now, that seems like a daunting statement. In Christianity today, I hear one side say, come as you are, God accepts everyone. But as I read and study scripture, I see a God that wants real, genuine holiness in his children. And I wonder if I will ever meet that expectation. Now, we have to understand that acceptable does not mean perfection, because we will never have perfection on this side of heaven. It's impossible. God is not instructing us to be perfect. What he is instructing us to do is to be pleasing to him. Now, this is literally the definition of the Greek word used here for acceptable. Acceptable means pleasing. Now, let's consider another passage that uses the same word. The closing of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will, by doing in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, our goal in the Christian life is to obey God and to do what is pleasing in his sight. Now, if I were to ask you what pleases God today, I think together we would have a fairly lengthy list. Even as you are all students of God's word, if I asked you for one word today to describe what is pleasing to God, what might you say? Okay, we could say obedience. We could say submission. We could say, yep, loving. There are many different words that we could say. Now, let me give you one passage that may be of help. From Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when we are loving God with all of our hearts, it sincerely helps our focus on pleasing him, because we are going to want to grow and get better at pleasing him. So that's step number 4, obey and please God. Obey and please God. Let's consider the next step of the prescription. Back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, reasonable service is a description of why we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It is because it's only fair. It's only sensible. It's only right for us to give back what we can, since God has given and will continue to give us so much. This is our personal privilege and a sacred service to the Lord. Now, there is one more step in our prescription of renewal from verse 2 in our text, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, conform means to comply with a set of standards, to be cut in a way that you are set to an exact shape of something. You know, around Christmas time every year, so many people make cookies that are in the shapes of trees and angels and snowmen and stars, all kinds of different shapes. So what do? They prepare the dough, they roll it out, and then they put these things called cookie cutters over top that are in different shapes, and they force the dough into the mold of that cookie cutter shape. Now, in the world, in society today, we are being taught to fit a certain mold, to think a certain way, to even form beliefs in a certain way, to dress in a particular style, to like what is popular. So many different things are taught to us in a way to attempt to conform us to be a certain way. Mostly a good person in our own way, but definitely anti-God. You can be spiritual, you just shouldn't be Christian. But here in our text, we are being instructed to not let the world conform us into its mold, but to instead think a different way, to be transformed. And the Greek word here for transform doesn't mean a single transformation. This is a continual transforming of our whole being. The way that we think, how we act, even our likes and dislikes. Now, what's interesting is that the word here that we have in the Greek is metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis from. The process of the caterpillar changing into the butterfly. Now, this process didn't happen overnight. It took a long time for that caterpillar to look completely different, even to have different talents to be used. And so it is for the Christian. Life doesn't change to perfection because we said a prayer or made a commitment one time. It takes time and great effort to continually let go of those things that come into our lives, those bad habits that we pick up from the world, and to work on instead transforming ourselves into what would be pleasing to God. Now, how do we transform ourselves? Let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are transformed by this continual renewing, this continual purposing to do what's right in God's eyes, so that we may prove what is good and pleasing and what is the perfect will of God. Now, since 2020 especially, I have seen so many Christians being changed to follow the values of the world. And the problem is that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot both serve the world and God. You know, Jesus tells us that it's a conflict of the heart, that we will love one of these things and despise the other. And when we are focused on our connection to the world, we will not be able to be transformed. Instead, we will be tossed back and forth like the heavy winds on the sea. with different ideas and theories instead of being grounded in God's word like Ephesians 4 and verse 14 warns us about. Now this grounding in the Lord, this transformation, is a daily effort to purposely take your eyes off of the world and set your gaze on Christ and continually consider what pleases Him. Now this will lead us to a daily and continual transformation. So step number 5 is what this brings us to, which is be daily transformed. Step number 5, be daily transformed. And this daily transformation is so important because we cannot just take 30 minutes or an hour once a week or every once in a while and expect real life-changing transformation. You know, those looking to be healthy cannot expect that one salad once a week or one 30-minute segment of exercise is going to improve their health a whole lot. So it is in our Christian walk. Genuine change comes by daily work of transformation. We have to pour ourselves into Christ in all of the ways that He has directed us. Now we need to read those Bibles, we need to meditate on His Word, we need to pray, study those theological books for more help, listen to those right voices of spiritual guidance, sing good theological music, and more. And let me encourage you today to renew your life with Christ. Spend some time, even today, to genuinely talk with the Lord, to give your life back to Him, to recommit to giving Him your best, to letting go of those old sins that would hold you back, and to seek holiness instead, to obey and to please Him, which is only reasonable that you would do so, and to daily work to transform yourself to be more like Christ. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to consider the text here today, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and consider these 5 steps of renewal. Lord, help us to reconnect with You. Maybe we've lost our way a little bit. Maybe we've just set that cross aside and it's something that's on our list of things to do to get back to You. But I pray, Lord, that we would make the effort even today to sit down with You and just have a conversation about where we've gone wrong. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us wisdom on getting back on the right track. Help us, Lord, to have the right focus. Help us, Lord, to be submissive and humble enough where we can recognize, hey, I've done this wrong. I know I need to get this right. And I pray, Lord, that You would just change our hearts, our minds, and our focus to be on You instead of all of the many other distractions that we have in the world today. Help us, Lord, to set You as number 1. In Your name, I pray these things. Amen.